if you ask my wife, sometimes it takes me a little while to figure things out. I can be a little slow, not just with dates and times, but with other things as well. But I wanted to see, I wanted to gauge as a church, if we're given enough information, can we figure out the things that are right in front of us? So I have an activity to test this, but I'm going to need a little bit of help. So do I have a volunteer, somebody who goes to Awana? Is there somebody who would like to, Sophia, you'd like to help? Can you come up here? All right, Sophia, come on up here. So here's what we're going to do. Come on up here so everybody can see you. Do you get nervous in front of people? No, I didn't think so. So here's what we're going to do. I have an object. The picture is up there, but we're not going to show you the picture. All right? I'm going to ask you three questions. And you, in those three questions, have to see if you can figure out the object that I've picked. If you get it, I have a prize for you. All right, after each question, you can make a guess. Even if you get the guess wrong, I'll still give you the next question. You got it? All right, you can do this. All right, question number one. This animal spends most of the day living in a field. What do you think? You think it's a tiger. Unfortunately, it is not a tiger. All right, you ready for your next one? This animal is mostly white, but has big spots on it. Lives in a field, it's mostly white, and has big spots on it. A polar bear. You got the mostly white part. No, it's not a polar bear. All right. Third and final question. This animal makes a very distinct sound. Moo.
A cow.
A cow. Is it a cow? Is it a cow? It is. There you go. You win a prize. Congratulations. All right, so our Awana guys are pretty good at putting stuff together, but what about our youth nighters? Do we have someone from youth night? All right. Nobody's here? No, I'm just kidding. All right. You know what, Lindsay, you work behind the screen every time. Come on up here. I'm going to give you your moment. Just don't blow it. Don't be like Ezekiel last week who messed me up.
Oh, she doesn't know the answer. I get the answer, so I don't know the answer.
All right, that's true. All right, now you represent all of Youth Night here, so you already kind of blew announcement time, so a lot of pressure here. All right, you understand the rules of the game? Okay, it's not a cow, I'll tell you that right now. All right. This is normally round.
Bouncy ball.
No, it is not a bouncy ball. This item normally comes in a box. Are you sure it's not a bouncy ball? Wow, look at that. Let's see if she got it. That's right. All right. For you, I'll give you the choice of prizes. Oh, all right. Well, clearly our kids are very intelligent and can put things together. But what about you adults? Do I have a volunteer from the adults? This is why we can't send the kids away, because I'll have nobody to help me with my illustration. All right, Joe, come on up here. Joe, somehow I knew you. See, Joe, you don't have to stand up front. You're plenty tall.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Boy, we moved on quick, huh? Yeah, I'm going to start throwing Giants under buses here. All right.
49ers?
Yeah, there we go. All right, Joe, are you ready?
Yes.
You understand the rules?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Question number one. I am a type of vehicle.
Car.
It's not a car. That is a vehicle, so that's a good guess. Nice work. All right. This vehicle is used to carry things. Forklift, that's a good guess. Unfortunately, not correct. This vehicle normally stops by your house once a week.
FedEx.
Do you have a problem ordering on Amazon?
No, I don't, but someone else does.
All right, Joe, you say FedEx truck. Let's go to the image.
Factory.
Oh, no. All right. Bum, bum, ba, bum. We still have some lovely parting gifts for you.
Thank
All right, so adults, you're all dismissed because kids, stay here because you're the ones that actually learn. You can see who's listening to me. No, I'm just kidding. Well, while I limited this activity to three questions, the reality is if we're given enough time and enough information, Joe, if I gave you a couple more questions, you think you would have got there? Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Giants fans are a little slower, so I probably should have come up with four or five questions for any Giants fans out there. Hey, I gave you the first week off. You know, he came up here talking in 49er stuff. Anyway, he asked for it. I was being generous and kind. But the reality is that given enough time and given enough information, most of us, if given that stuff, can come up with the right answers. Well, for 10 chapters, the writer of Hebrews has been giving his Jewish readers compelling evidence that Jesus is who they should be putting their trust in. He has shown that Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the Old Testament law. He's also demonstrated that Jesus is a better high priest. He's a better temple. He's a better sacrifice. Over and over and over again, the writer of Hebrews has been giving his readers information about Jesus. And now, after all this teaching, the writer of Hebrews turns his attention to moving his readers to action. Knowing a whole bunch of information is great, but not being able to do anything with that information, not being able to make the changes necessary, would just be a lot of information. Knowing who Jesus is not enough. Both the Jewish readers of this book and for us today, we are called to make a choice. Not just to know details about Jesus, not just to know facts about who he is, but to actually call on him to make a choice in our life about who Jesus Christ is. The remainder of Hebrews chapter 10 focuses on what happens when we either accept Jesus Christ or we reject Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives. So like I said, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 19 to 25 today and talking about what the author of Hebrews talks about. What happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? And here's what God's Word has to say starting in verse 19. He says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the certain, through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have this great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray, and then we're going to look at these words together today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We thank you that we can come and cast our cares upon you. We thank you that we can come and worship you in song and through fellowship. But Lord, we thank you for your word that you have preserved throughout the years and throughout generations, so we, much like the people that this was originally written to, could read and understand your truth. And not just know this truth, not just talk about this truth, but to believe this truth for ourselves. So Lord, as we go through these verses today, as we look at them closely, as we pull together all this information to get an accurate picture, give us guidance and direction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, in verses 19 to 21, the author of Hebrews recaps all that's been taught about Christ in the previous chapter. But there are a couple important notes in these verses that we should look at before we get to the heart of what he's teaching. First of all, verse 19 starts with what word in most of your Bibles? What's that first word of verse 19? Therefore. Now, if you're a teacher of the Bible, therefores are really important. Because what they tell you is that some summarization and some application is about to happen. So we're at that, an important therefore in the book of Hebrews. Because like I said, for the last 10 chapters, the author of Hebrews has been pouring out all this information. Just kind of like I was giving out questions, and those questions helped paint a picture for the people who are up here. This is what the author of Hebrews has been doing. He's been sharing about Jesus, who he is. And now, therefore, since we have all these things, it's time to do what? It's time to do something with it. And this is what the remainder of Hebrews is going to be. We're moving towards the application. Now that I know all this about Jesus, how does it change my life? And here's the truth. If we come here and we learn all this stuff about Jesus and it does nothing for our lives, I love y'all, but you're wasting your Sunday mornings. We're here to grow. We're here to change. We're here to become more like Jesus Christ. So if you have a whole bunch of knowledge about Jesus, but you're not any closer to Jesus, you've missed the point. Therefore, let's figure out what choice we're about to make. The second thing, and it may not be super important to our discussion today, but we're going to look at the flip side of this next week. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters. Now, many people have seen this to say, he's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church of Hebrew, in the church that he's writing to. But the author of Hebrews is writing to a Jewish congregation here, some of which are saved and some of which are unsaved. So the reality is that in Hebrew culture, Jews would often refer to themselves as brothers and sisters. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone that he's speaking to in these verses is saved. Now, that's not super important in what we're going to read about today, but next week when we read about what happens when we reject Jesus Christ, the fact that the people that he's talking to in this verse aren't necessarily all Christians becomes very important for that interpretation. So keep that in mind and store that away. We're gonna look at that more next week. But today, we're not looking at what happens when you reject Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews focuses on what happens to us when we choose to accept Jesus Christ. And he lists three blessings that come from choosing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's what we're going to look at today. The first thing we see is this. According to verse 22, we draw near to God. Verse 22 begins by telling us that those with a sincere heart can draw near to God. Let's look at verse 22 with me, and let's see what it says. He says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." That word sincere comes from the Greek word alethinos, and it means to have a genuine heart or a heart without ulterior motive. Now, let me ask you a question. Can a person believe in God or believe in Jesus Christ with the wrong motives? How many of you think that someone can believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ with the wrong motives? Yeah, I believe that too. You know why I believe it? Because the Bible tells us that this happens. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10. Jeremiah is writing to Israel, but he talks about Judah, and this is what he says. In spite of this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. Jeremiah says, this is what God said. Judah did all the right things. They were doing all the things that the law told them to do, but were they doing it with a genuine heart? No, God himself says no, they were doing it in pretense. In Acts chapter 10, we looked at the book of Acts last year. We were introduced to a fellow by the name of Simon. We were told he was a magician. And Simon saw the apostles doing all these incredible things through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Simon wanted that Holy Spirit. Why? Because the apostles were doing magic tricks that he couldn't. So he said, hey, what can I do to get some of that Holy Spirit? I will give you some money. Will you give me the Holy Spirit? Now, did he believe that the Holy Spirit would allow him to do magic? Yeah, he believed. But was it for the right reasons? No, he wanted to be a better magician. Not because he loved Jesus Christ and wanted to have a pure relationship with him. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. And we find that the seed is spread to many places. But there were a number of different reasons that people would believe in Jesus Christ. They would accept the message, but it did not take root. See, drawing near to God is not about doing or saying the right things. It is about having a genuine, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe the more incredible part of this is that this is a two-way street. One of the most stunning and ongoing narratives in the entire Bible is God's desire to be with us. Now, if it were just like, hey, we are desperately trying to get to God, that makes sense, right? Because, I mean, look at us. We're kind of a mess. We are a mess of a people. We can't get our schedule straight. We can't do the things we want to do. I can't even get dates right. Like, it makes a lot of sense for me to be pursuing God, right? If you were me, you would want, yeah, George, you should be pursuing God with all your heart. But the amazing thing about the Bible is, you know who is pursuing me? God. And this isn't just a one-off thing. He wasn't just having a bad day and he was hard up for some friendships. So I was like, well, George is lame. Let me go hang out with him. No, this is the ongoing narrative of the Bible. You go back to the story of creation, and we find in Genesis chapter 3 that God was walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve were aware of God doing this. When God was walking in the garden, they weren't like, oh, what's he doing here? No, they knew he was coming. Why? Why did they know he was coming? Because that's what he did. He had communion with them. He was with them continually. You go a little bit later on. We see God's presence is in the ark during the time that they're in the tabernacle. And then when Solomon builds the temple in 2 Chronicles, you know what God does on the day that Solomon dedicates the temple? His glory and his spirit indwell the temple. God could have stayed up there. In fact, given all that Israel had done and the unfaithfulness that they had shown, you would assume that God had been like, I'm going to keep my distance. All right, you guys build the nice temple. I'm going to stay up here. No, God continually entered into their presence. When the angel comes to Mary and says, hey, you're going to have a child. What was his name? His name was Emmanuel. Well, it was Jesus, but they also said his name was Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Yeah, Jesus Christ himself was God's presence with us. Acts chapter 2, Jesus says, don't do anything until I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God indwelling each of you. And then we get to eternity. Does it suddenly change? No. Look at Revelation 21:3. It says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I just went from cover to cover of the Bible, and you know the one thing God wants to do? Be with you. Man, that's awesome. I don't know why. I'm not here to question God's life choices, but man, if God makes one thing abundantly clear in the Bible is that he cares about you. He desires to have real relationship with you. Not just for you to come to church and do a bunch of things and, you know, say a bunch of prayers that you've said a million times and go home and feel good about yourself. No, he's looking for real, genuine relationship. Intimacy with his creation. And the writer of Hebrews says, not only does God want this with you, you can have it with him. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. What do we get When we accept Jesus Christ, we get the presence of God. We get to be near our Creator, to love and to be loved by the one who made us and holds us together. But that's not the only thing that the writer of Hebrews reveals in these verses. The next thing that we receive by accepting Jesus Christ is that we are filled with hope. One of the things that we see from the Bible is that hope is a natural result of faith. Look at verse 23 with me together. Look what it says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised it is faithful. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, one of the things that we receive from that day forward is hope. Hebrews 11:1, there's just a couple chapters from here. It says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. The very definition of faith includes hope in it. Because we have faith in Christ, we have genuine reason to hope in life. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, we see this. Paul writes, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Hope and faith are tied together in Scripture. And why are these two ideas so connected? Simply put, when we have genuine faith in Jesus Christ, the hope of Christ impacts every part of who we are. It's hope is the virus we get from being near Jesus. I know we've heard about viruses in a lot of negative ways the last couple years. When we get too close to Jesus, what do we get infected with? Hope. Hope is what we get infected with. Because no matter whether you look at the past, the present, or the future, we see the faithfulness and the promises of God in all of those things. And that's what gives us hope. If we know Jesus, no matter what direction we look at in life, we know that God is working there. Let me show you what I mean. If we look to our past, the Bible is filled with the promises, the fulfilled promises of God. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, we read this. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. One of the things that we see is when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we look back at what God has done in the past, we see its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. This is really what the entire book of Hebrews has been about. He's saying to the people, these Jewish believers, look back at what God has done. All these promises that God has made, they have found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So if we look back, what do we see? We see hope. Well, what about the present? God is not just the God of the past, but he is at work in our present as well. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, not just your good things, not just the things that are going great right now, but even in the crummy things, even in the things that we're like, hey, God, why am I going through this right now? God says, God promises that through Jesus Christ, he is working in all those things for those who've been called according to his purpose. Our presence and our present is in his hands. Well, what about our future? Is there reason to hope about our future? Well, yeah, because the Bible clearly tells us that God has made arrangements for our future as well. Let's go back to Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5 says this, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Did God want us to have confidence and hope about the past? Yeah. How do we know? Because God made all these promises that we could see be fulfilled, right? We can go back and look and see God's faithfulness and have hope. Did God want us to have hope about our present? Yeah, absolutely. Whether this week or month or year has been great or whether it's kind of stunk, guess what? God is at work in your life. And does God want you to have hope about your future? Oh, absolutely. He wants you to have hope about your future. See, when we have faith in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect in our life. I can't promise you that tomorrow is going to go awesome. What I can tell you is you have a God who is going to walk with you through tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. He always has. He will be there. He's here right now, and he will be there tomorrow with you. You have that hope when you have Jesus Christ. The school system in a large city had a program to help children keep up with their schoolwork during stays in the city's hospital. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a child that had been in the hospital. She took the child's name and the room number, and then she briefly talked with the child's regular class teacher. "We're studying nouns and adverbs in class now," the teacher said, "and I'd be grateful if you could go to the hospital and help him understand so he doesn't fall too far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon. Unfortunately, no one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in a great deal of pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered as she told him, "I've been sent here by the school to help you with nouns and adverbs." When she left, she felt like she didn't accomplish very much with the boy. But the next day, the nurse asked her, "What did you do with that boy?" The teacher felt like she must have done something wrong, and she began to apologize. No, the nurse said. "You don't know what I mean. I've been worried about that little boy. But ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as if he decided that he wanted to live." 2 weeks later, once the boy had recovered a great deal more, he explained that he had completely given up hope until that teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to the simple realization. He expressed it this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" See, God wouldn't be doing all this work. God wouldn't be working for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. He wouldn't be preparing a place for us in heaven if he didn't have plans for us, if he didn't have great and wonderful things that awaited us as followers of his son, Jesus Christ. God's not done with any of us. He is at work in our lives. Well, there's one more thing that the writer of Hebrews shares with us in these verses, one more blessing that comes from accepting Jesus Christ, and that's this: that we join the body of Christ. Now, you guys all have the hope of Christ. We just saw this, right? Now, even people who have hope, do they sometimes get discouraged? Let me ask you a question. And many of you, I'm sure, know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You would say, "I have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I put my hope and trust in him." How many of you, by a show of hands, have ever been discouraged or felt defeated? Anybody? Wow. That's most of you guys. Huh. Well, what does the writer of Hebrews tell us is one of the ways that we can overcome discouragement? Well, in these verses, he tells us to be and stay engaged with the body of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 24 and 25 with me. He says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." The body of Christ, both locally, like in this church, and universal, the body of believers throughout the world, is built to help followers of Jesus grow and stay connected with Jesus Christ. Why are we here right now? Why are you here this Sunday morning? Because let's be honest, it's a weirdly lovely day for January. There's a million other things you could be doing. I imagine some of you have a to-do list that's fairly long that you could be working on. Some of you could be chilling. Some of you could have a leisurely breakfast somewhere. Why do you come to church? Do you come to church out of habit? Do you come out of church out of guilt? Do you come out of church because my dad makes me go? Well, good for him. Sometimes we need some help before we learn to do the good things on our own, right? But why do we come to church? Yeah. The writer of Hebrews tells us exactly why the church, both local and universal, exists. So that we can stay connected to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us this. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. See, the reality of the body of Christ, and I think we're doing a really nice job of representing this here, is that we're not all meant to be the same. If I came in here and there were 75 of us that dressed the same and talked the same and looked the same and were the same age and you know, same likes and dislikes, all rooted for the same football team, it would not be a very fun church to be a part of. I only like to be with myself for so long. But the reality is, the Bible itself tells us that churches are meant to be diverse. God intended it to be that way. He intended it not just to have one gift, but to have a myriad of gifts, a myriad of the creativeness that God is. The church is a place where people of different gifts, different skills, different preferences live and serve together. Paul goes on and talks about it more in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. He says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to each other." The reality is that the church is meant to be a place where we are edified and encouraged. But according to Hebrews, working and serving in the church, and I know many of you do that, is not the only roles in the church. We all have different gifts and abilities, and we're meant to use those things, but that's not all the church is. Church isn't just about coming and getting the job done. Yeah, we have a job to do, and we should be about doing that job. But church is about more than just getting the ministries done, making sure we have enough people for Awana, and making sure we have extra mile classes. Great, those are wonderful, but that's not it. Because look at what it says in verse 25. It says this, "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." What are we encouraging each other to do? To walk closely with Jesus Christ. Our primary job as a church is not to have myriads of programs, is not to have all this different stuff. You know what our primary job as a church is? To make sure that each and every one of us are walking as closely as we can with the Lord. Because like I said, even when we have the hope of faith in Christ, do we sometimes get discouraged? Can those of us who have known Jesus Christ since before we can even remember, do we still get discouraged sometimes? And what do we need in that time of discouragement? We need people who love the Lord to come alongside us and draw us back into a right relationship with Him. This, my friends, is what a church is. It's what it's created to do, to help people not just find Christ and then you're on your own from here. Yeah, are we supposed to share Christ and hopefully people will receive Him? Absolutely. But that's where our job starts. We come along with those people. We encourage them. We walk through them, not just through the triumphs, but through the difficulties as well. And I guess the question to ask, is that what our church is? Because guess what? We're getting to the application part of this letter, right? So we're supposed to actually be looking at us, not be like, well, for those people, that's easy, right? It's pretty easy to look at other people, well, you're not doing it right. Well, what about us? Are we a place that has a diversity of people, of gifts and abilities? Are we a place that the love of Christ is taught and practiced? Are we a place where we do good for others in Jesus' name? Are we doing good things? Not for the kingdom of First Baptist, but for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And is this a place where those who are struggling can reconnect with Jesus Christ? Guess what? I imagine there's some of you here who say, you know what? My walk stinks right now. Okay. Guess what? There's been times in my life where my walk stinked. Stunk. Stank. Guess what? We don't always have it all together. And you know what? That's okay. It really is. It's okay. You're allowed to come here and be like, Pastor, I haven't prayed in a month. Hey, I haven't cracked my Bible. It's got dust on it. Hey, I love Jesus, but I am not near Jesus right now. Guess what? That's okay. You know why? Because one, God will take you back. Jesus is not done with you. And guess what? We've all been there, right? Let's be honest. We've all been there. And instead, you're sitting here thinking, well, if I tell them, you know, how far I am for Christ, they're going to judge me. No, guess what? I'm not. You know why? Because I'd just be judging myself. Instead, it is a place where you can come and be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus Christ welcomes you back with open arms. Guess what? You haven't prayed in a month? You can pray right now. You know what? Jesus is still listening. He will take you back. Maybe he shouldn't, but he will, because he's awesome like that. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, hey, don't neglect places like that. Get in the habit of going to church. Not just because, hey, it's Sunday, you got to be in church. No, because we need to be encouraged. We need to be brought back when we drift away. We need to be working on being filled with the good things of Christ every single opportunity we can get. I'll close with this neat story and video I saw this week. Last year, a young boy became separated from his father on the streets of a busy Argentinian city. A concerned pedestrian promptly came and attended to him. He asked him his name and his father's name, and then he hoisted him, the young man, onto his shoulders and began to cry out, Eduardo, come and find Juan Cruz. It wasn't long before all the diners and pedestrians in the busy square began chanting aloud with him, Eduardo, come and find Juan Cruz. Soon, even the street band took up the call, quickly turning the chant into a song and playing along with all the other concerned citizens, singing together, Eduardo, come and find Juan Cruz. Panic turned to comfort, encouragement, and support. It turned into a collective mission as the entire community banded together to reunite young Juan Cruz with his father. And guess what? It worked. The dad heard the commotion. He followed the sound of the chants, zeroed in on the location, and ran and gathered his son in his arms. Now, amazingly enough, this is not just a pastor story. We have actual video of this.
Eduardo, por favor, el padre. Que se apersone. Eduardo. ¿Dónde estás, Eduardo?
Eduardo, Eduardo, Eduardo.
Eduardo. Ven a buscar a Juan Cruz. Eduardo. Ven a buscar a Juan Cruz.
this is what church can be. Honestly. Because let's be honest, there are times we feel lost in life, don't we? Maybe it's the circumstances that you're going through right now. Maybe it's difficulty and struggle. Maybe it's health issues. But there are times in life where we feel lost. Sometimes we're just disconnected from Jesus Christ, just from living life. Church is meant to be a place where we are called back to our Heavenly Father, where other people who love Jesus Christ and know how precious that relationship is encourages each other to come and be back in relationship with Jesus Christ. Our Father is constantly seeking us. It is us that sometimes gets misplaced. But church can be a place where we, who love Jesus Christ, don't just help ourselves, but help our community to be close to Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is searching for us. And Lord, you will not give up. You will not surrender. And church can be a place where we can go and be reconnected to you. We thank you for these incredible blessings that we have from accepting you as our Lord and Savior. So Lord, if there's anyone here today who has not accepted you as their Savior, I pray that they would. The Bible tells us we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of those sins is death. We should be separated from you, but you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. Romans tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. We could enter into real relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you have not made it difficult for us to find you because you have been searching for us throughout history. So if we call upon your name, put our faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, we can be saved. We can have real relationship with our Creator. So Lord, we pray if there's anyone here today who has never called on you as your Savior, who have never experienced the blessing that comes with accepting Jesus Christ. We've been hearing about Jesus Christ for weeks and weeks and months, but it's time to make a choice. We can choose you or we can reject you. For those who choose, there is eternal life and so much more. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray.